Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by Mad Cats, all about the game. An XSplit broadcaster, simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Hello and welcome, all my fellow video game loving friends. This is GOG Cast number 88. I'm your host, Leah, and man, it's been busy. There's so much going on. We got esports events. We've got big Blizzard events to talk about. Games launching. It's going to be a time here this evening. Thank you all for coming to hang out. I've got Simon with me. How you doing, Bo? Are you still feeling under the weather?
But it's okay. I have a cat sleeping on my bed, so that's why I couldn't make it.
Aw, cutie.
He's a cutie pie.
Cutie. So I hope you're feeling better soon.
Hopefully.
Yeah, but you know.
But I'm here.
Entertaining. You're entertaining. Yeah. And Miss Sarah, welcome back to Canada.
Thank you. That was quite the ordeal, too.
Yeah, she told me a few stories yesterday when we were hanging out at Northern Arena. Sarah just came back from BlizzCon. So those of us got to experience it at a distance. Sarah was there on the show floor. So that's why we didn't do our BlizzCon cast last week. Well, also, we were doing big stuff. I wanted Sarah in the house. Well, digitally in the house.
I'm insanely jealous.
We're all insanely jealous. I think we need to make an adventure.
I'm going next year.
I'm
taking vacation days. I'm going next year. I don't care.
Dude, it's worth it.
Not only that, but it's going to be a WoW expansion release because it's usually 2 years. So I'm going next year.
Go for it.
Well, I think media registration is open like now. So maybe it's the time to go and put your name down.
Yeah, please. Work my creds. If I can not pay the entrance, I'll pay the rest.
All right. I will sign your waiver forms. All right. It's been crazy week of information and news and stuff going down. But right off the bat, because it's fresh in all of our minds, Northern Arena happened here in Montreal yesterday at the Bell Centre. Wow, what a show. I have to say, from the production standpoint, out of all the esports events we have been wanting to see in this city, after DreamHack, after ESWC, this is what I wanted it to look like. It was gorgeous.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. I know, Simon, you were watching from a distance, so you were getting the whole look on Twitch.
Well, not only that, but I actually was able to watch the quality of the stream, which you guys couldn't, so I'll comment.
Yeah, exactly. And then Sarah and myself, Kat, SD, Allie, we were all there. We got to meet up with some of our winners that won the tickets through us. We also got to see Kat Ashley, who you guys probably haven't heard from in a while.
Oh, wow, she's still alive?
She's working at Yumi. she's been a busy camper. And so it was a little bit of a reunion. And then we got to meet lots of other folks in the esports scene here in Montreal, and all the folks like TechCore, who's listening in chat right now, and Carl Edwin, got to meet him in person. So it was a great day. I had a lot of fun.
Carl is the nicest guy. I met him at Fan Expo, and he's so cool.
I wish I could have met him.
He's really nice. Yeah,
it was brief when I got to see him.
He was very nice, but
I'm hoping to talk to him more tomorrow, because tomorrow is the Video Game Awards, the Canadian Video Game Awards.
Okay.
And I know he's also part of the organizing committee for that. So the man is busy this week.
Yes, he is.
All right. But let's talk about all the festivities that went down at Northern Arena. I have to say, for first-time production, that kind of quality, that kind of level of show, it was pretty amazing to see right off the bat. I know because I watched the finale on Twitch in the evening, which went fairly late for a Bell Center thing. I mean, it ended at midnight, almost on the dot. But the production value on Twitch was amazing. I know that the count of viewership that I saw was pretty good too. It was number 2 at that time for CSGO on Twitch. And at the time I was watching, there was 21,000 people watching.
Kudos to the
folks at Northern Arena. Simon, how did you find the CSGO tournament?
It was good. I'm glad Optic won. Spoilers.
Spoilers. I mean, we tweeted it.
it was good. Honestly, it wasn't. maybe I'm just difficult. It wasn't perfect, for sure. There was some little audio stuff going on here and there, but like overall, the quality was just really, really, really good.
Do you know that the night before, the Bell Center was a Habs arena, and then in that night and in the next day, they had to set everything up. So totally okay with the fact they had some technical difficulties.
Yeah, no, but it was like the stream quality was good. There was no hiccups. There was no, you know, no sound issue per se. Just sound quality was okay for the casters and analysts. But apart from that, it was just, I mean, for the first event in Montreal, not hosted by like the big names, it was very impressive. I think that's the most impressive part.
Yeah. Sarah, now you were with me at the event. Yes. What were your thoughts on the whole shebang?
Just like you, this thing, like this kind of production value, this kind of production quality, this whole feeling was what I expected out of DreamHack Montreal last year.
Me too.
And I was so highly disappointed by DreamHack Montreal on this particular issue. Mm. But seriously, this is what I've seen in other events. This is what I've seen at IEMs. This is what I've seen at WCS events. This is what I've seen at DreamHack, other DreamHacks. This is what I expected to happen. And they've actually managed to do it and do it in a really good way. And I was talking with some people that actually worked for Northern Arena. Mm-hmm. And they said that they were really happy that they didn't have that many stream issues like they did for Fan Expo.
Yeah.
So for them, like, they were just really happy that everything was going pretty smoothly. I mean, you're always going to have technical issues.
Murphy's Law, right? Something's going to go wrong.
And it's technology. Technology always goes wrong. Like, it's a thing. But you learn to deal with it. But they did such a great job from what I could see. Just the stage. The stage was just so pretty.
Yeah, I looked at the pictures.
And the setup they had, especially because it was I was actually getting really introduced to Dota 2 and getting like a tutorial on how the game worked and everything at the same time. Like I had an idea, but I was getting, you know, more into it watching there. It was a great learning experience. And how they had it set up on the screens split for all the characters and when someone got taken out in the countdowns and all that kind of stuff, like it made it really easy to watch and do experience.
It was just a great thing. Literally, this is what I expected from DreamHack. And they didn't deliver, sadly, but seriously, if Northern Arena comes back, I will be more than happy to see them come back and do other events here.
Yeah.
Like I saw I saw a GIF it was a short video on Twitter, and like they were actually showing when the players were flashed for CSGO, like the actual player, like the picture of the player became white to see, well, he's flashed, and he had, you know, the health live under it and like the gun and the money, and I was like, wow, that's like,
yeah.
And just only recently that started happening at tournaments, like not even a couple months ago that wasn't happening at tournaments, and that they were able to do that themselves, that was like really fun. Cool.
Yeah, the production value from the stream standpoint when you were watching how they had the overlays and the stats and the info and everything, so clear, so easy to follow.
Did they partner with SIVO for that? Because
not sure.
Because the way like the score and everything was shown looked a lot like what SIVO does. So I don't know if they got inspired maybe Albano will know
Albano said they had the same stuff at Toronto actually with the flash.
Because I wasn't on the other side in Toronto.
Yeah. You might have been, you weren't watching the same way we were watching.
No, for sure,
right? Because it's a totally different experience how you can watch the game and the matches happen when you're in the venue versus if you're from outside.
Yeah,
totally. And the casters were great. I was watching both French and English. Albam, way to go. Like, represent, yo, represent. Bravo. That's all I can say. I can't wait for the next one. And I know they've announced Vancouver. Yes, they announced it on an EGN show, I think. And and then of course, bring back Toronto, bring back Montreal, like.
Yes, please, game. Please do.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think it was a great first event, and the next step would definitely be like, well, higher price pool, better teams, and better casters/analysts.
I mean, they had pretty good teams.
First
Dota 2, from what I could hear, Dota 2 was really good teams. I mean,
no. Man,
One of the winners.
The Canadian team was doing crazy right up until the end. But apparently that's what the China team was known for. My dog is knocking everything down right now. If you can hear it, that's why he's jumping around here. He's
for CS, it was tier two teams. Tier two and three.
I mean, really it's a first event.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. For first event, it was like super awesome, fantastic, and like so. I'm hoping that other teams will see this and be like, okay, that was kind of cool. Let's go next year. Also, the timing was kind of weird, you know, with iPad Power Invitation being at the same time. I think that was number one on Twitch.
When you that's the thing, right? I've seen that happen more and more in esports nowadays. There's just so many events. Mm-hmm. She can't find a free weekend anymore.
Well, yeah, not only that, not a thing. Like Leo was saying, the Bell Center.
The Bell Center, if you can find three dates strung together where the Bell Center is not in use, that's like one in a million. So trying to find a space there that makes
a
sense.
Saturday that the Bell Center isn't in use for a concert or a hockey
or
game.
Or a hockey game.
Jeez,
right?
Good luck.
Mm-hmm. It's tough work. But I mean, the Bell Center is a great venue because like, there wasn't really a bad spot to watch in the house. And it felt, but at the same time, like it felt big, but it felt intimate too. Mm-hmm. Everybody was there for the same thing. And like,
But I
don't know.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
The way it was set up was really nice. I liked it. I really liked that.
It's pretty cool. All right. So that's Northern Arena, but there's also many other things going on in the city right now as well. MIGS is happening. I was there earlier today. I got to try HoloLens.
How is it?
It's pretty neat. I mean, it's still demo unit, right? So the unit goes on your face. I had a little bit of trouble like making sure it was like on my face in the right spot, but like the PSVR, I became a wizard of putting that on after I like tweaked it a bit, right? Like just, you know, getting into it. And but yeah, the thing is really cool. You use gestures. I felt like it was a Minority Report. The screen fidelity is not totally there yet, obviously, but like the, you know, concept wise, like I selected things to put in my space. I selected a little doggy and a fish and I put it down and they had animations they played and you could move close to them, move back. And, but it looks pretty funny when someone's wearing it and doing things and you cannot see. Because they're just walking around. The girl was demoing, and they had just turned off. They went gone for lunch just before, and they had turned off the unit, and not like cleared the space, and so she put it back on, and she looked, and she was just going nuts, like moving around, doing gestures with her hands, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "Someone left astronauts all over the place." I was like, "Okay, only you can see that right now." So, it's pretty neat. I can it works, which is cool. You know what I mean? Because I was highly skeptical. Yeah. So
I'm way more excited about ARG, augmented reality, than freaking VR.
So I mean, that little bit sold me. I know it's a demo unit. They're gonna do more stuff. So keep at it. Keep at it, Microsoft. Let's see what's next. I love it. But yeah, MIGS, Montreal International Game Summit, is currently happening down at the Palais de Congrès. That was started yesterday. It's today and it's tomorrow. The show floor is great. I wanted to go see panels this year. It's not going to happen because I have too many interviews to do. Say lovey. But tomorrow night is the Canadian Video Game Awards, which is all part of it. So I'm really stoked to go check that out too and cheer on some awesome, amazing Canadian talent in creating video games. All right, well, besides going to events, what have we all been playing? Sarah, I know you've been away. What have you been playing? Anything? Have you gotten your hands on anything?
No, well, not... Okay, well, technically, a friend gave me Pokemon Soul Silver.
Oh, really?
That's old.
Yeah.
That's old, but it works on a Nintendo 3DS. So I can actually, like, finish Pokemon Yellow, and then do Silver, and then do all of the Pokemons one after the other, like
want
to. I'm super happy. Everything's like, I'm like, yes. Going back to like old school. But other than that, which I haven't really had time to play. Like when I was in California, like we're just going around and just like sightseeing. But other than that, I've gone back to D3. The new season started just before BlizzCon, so I'm kind of like trying to finish that. And then Overwatch, as always. Nothing new. Sorry.
It's all good. You go back to what you want to play. It makes total sense. Simon, how about you?
A lot of console games, because it doesn't show right now, but this is my B PC that's running currently. This is the streaming
PC.
Oh
yeah, you had so many problems.
Yeah, my computer exploded, so...
What?
Well, not exploded, but... It stopped working, so yeah, I should get the parts this week to fix it. But for now, I'm on my, like, B PC, which, like, has an integrated video card, so it can really much do anything. So I've been playing Destiny a lot.
It's a good game!
I mean, yeah, you know, I kind of wish I would jump in, but, like, it's all playing on PS4, and I have it on Xbox.
Yeah, it's Iron Banner's week, mm-hmm. ends tomorrow, I think. So, like, I was able to get a lot of good gear, and I played a bit with Alice. Mm-hmm. And, no, honestly, like, it's, I'm glad I waited for the 2 DLCs to come out, because I really feel like there's a lot of stuff to do now compared to when the game initially came out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, I'm having a good time playing Destiny. It's really fun, and I don't suck as much as I thought I would on console.
Yay!
I'm honestly not bad. Like I was talking with a friend of mine, and he was saying, well, you know, you're used to playing shooters, so. The second you'll get used to the maps and, like, the control a little bit, you still have that, like, spatial awareness you need to have when playing a shooter. So it's true. Like, I know where the enemies will be coming from, that kind of stuff. And so it's just a question of landing the shots now.
Yeah, I think it has, with first-person shooters and stuff, it's more about a mindset and it's about the perspective.
Yeah.
And the more so the perspective throws me off than the controls.
Mm.
And if you've already got that in your head, logic, it's just reprogramming your hands.
Exactly. And I think that my biggest fear was like, holy shit, like I'm going to be so fucking clumsy and everyone's just going to like one-shot me. It's going to be horrible. No, everyone's just as fucking clumsy as me. So that's pretty
we'll
fun,
all be
actually.
Clumsy together.
But yeah, it's pretty good. Like I usually finish in the top three. So like when PvPing, so I'm pretty happy. So
nice.
Maybe I'll have to try other shooters on consoles.
Oh my goodness, yeah. We're converting Simon.
No, not converting. I'm expanding my horizons.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, that's a nice way.
That's a nice way to put it. So I've been knees deep in Watch Dogs 2 for the past 3-4 days. I've been on vacation because I had so much overtime vacation to use. I was just like, you know what? Between MIGS, Northern Arena, Watch Dogs coming out, like, I took Thursday until Wednesday of this week off. And, as soon as I was, like, off on Wednesday night, I was downloading it. And then on Thursday, all day. Friday, most of the evening, because Michael left, actually, to go to Toronto. All day Saturday. Like,
where is he going? What did he go do?
He had to go do some family stuff in Toronto area. Oshawa, actually, to be more technically correct. But yeah, I have to say, like, I was one of the people that really enjoyed the original Watch Dogs, okay? I understand Aiden Pierce was a shell. Me? Yeah. I wasn't drunk. What are you talking about?
Watch Dogs 1 was boring.
No, well, oh, yeah. This story was boring. Aiden Pierce was a bit of a shell.
Concept was fantastic, but the game.
I think I figured out why, though.
Why?
I'm writing something on that. I don't want to spill all the beans. Oh. I don't want to spill all the beans. Okay. But I must say, like, it took me a few minutes to get into it because I was like, okay, I was really putting pressure on the characters that they had. Mm-hmm. Like, Marcus and Wrench and Josh and Horatio and what's the other girl's name? I never remember the girl's name. Anyways, I had put like so much that I was like, you guys better be good. Like, I want you to be awesome. So it took me a little bit of time to get into it. Also, I was experiencing a lot of the technical issues with the frame rate, with the reason why some of the online stuff wasn't working and why there's like some reviews in progress up right now. That was causing me a lot of glitches.
I remember you like
taking me out of the experience.
Saying a message like, guys, I'm about to vomit. This is insane.
That was causing serious issues, like strobing. But once they turned that off and they acknowledged that problem and they turned off the always online kind of thing for multiplayer, you could still multiplayer, but it just wasn't like it's supposed to be. It was fine, and I got hooked. And hence, like, everybody's like, you're on vacation, why do you look tired? Well, I spent every day this the past 3 days up until 3 a.m. playing Watch Dogs. Yeah. It's pretty awesome. Game comes out tonight at, like, midnight, I think, yeah, for tomorrow, if you have it downloaded. But something that came out that was pretty cool that everybody's, like, freaking out over because they don't know if it's a game announcement or not. The game takes place in San Francisco, and there's a Ubisoft building in the game. And someone went on, they were on stream, like, streaming the game. They went into the Ubisoft building, hacked into one spot, and then got this announcement for a game.
This E3 trailer.
Yeah, like a space game. Now the question is it just Ubisoft, you know, poking fun at themselves or putting something there? Or is it real?
That's too deliberate for it to not be real, I feel.
Yeah?
Yes.
You think Ubi's making a space game?
Yes.
What kind of space game? It felt kind of like Star Trek in the type choices and stuff.
Yeah, it felt... Okay, this is being super fucking, like, out there, but... from what I could make of the trailer, the graphics weren't amazing. So I'm thinking maybe they're trying to cash in on this whole
retro vibe thing.
No Man's Sky hype.
Oh, procedurally generated.
Yes. Yes. Because usually that's often that. Okay, kitty cat, I'm gone. Usually that's like often what I find happens is that when they want to make something really ambitious, they're gonna down the graphic a little bit so that, you know, most. Whatever consoles can handle it. And this is just me, like, speculating 1,000,000%, but I feel that it could be something like that. Also, you know, all the hype No Man's Sky had, I feel, you know, why the heck not, you know? Like, well, why not try to make something of their own that goes into that little mold that people
seem to have. But if it has, like, a Star Trek feel to it, then the aesthetic, the low poly, the whatever else, even just, like, some of the UI unit, it's not like the UI, it's the units in the machine or whatever, makes sense, right? To have, like, as a throwback.
Yeah, I don't know, we'll see. I mean, Star Trek game? I guess.
Well, the movies have been doing great.
I actually just watched Beyond.
Isn't somebody else working on Star Trek? Isn't somebody else doing a Star Trek game? Isn't there a Star Trek VR game coming out?
Maybe.
No idea.
Could it have been that?
No idea.
I mean, what I want is Star Trek.
Now I got myself guessing. Hold on. I keep talking.
The second that they make Star Trek Bridge Commander VR, I'm buying a VR headset and playing Star Trek Bridge Commander. Because that game was fucking awesome.
That's all he wants.
That game was so fucking awesome.
They're making Star Trek Bridge Crew, and it's Ubisoft that's making it. Developer Red Storm Entertainment, publisher is Ubisoft. Maybe it's a shot.
Then maybe that's what it is. Oh, maybe.
There you go.
That makes sense.
Hmm.
You never know.
Hmm.
I mean, isn't that like what every sci-fi nerd wants? Just to like be like in charge of the bridge, and then you just like tell people to do stuff and they do it.
Beat me up, Scotty. I'm game.
Oh my god, like I'm freaking out. I love Bridge Commander. It was such an awesome game, and it's a shame that they didn't explore it more because it was so much fun.
Oh my god, I love Star Trek.
Me too. I just watched Beyond like just now.
And?
Right before the cast. Yeah, I loved it. It was really
good.
I'm surprised. I shed a little tear when the song at the end. Well, I don't want to
spoil it for everybody now.
Yes, I will. Well,
no.
Okay, they use a song at a certain point of the movie to like make the plot advance, and I was like, that's fucking perfect. That song was the fucking best song they could have used for it.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch that now.
Yes.
Is that Netflix?
No, not yet, because came out on, I think it just came out on DVD or something.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
Yes.
Cool, yeah.
Which I have bought legally and used it to watch it on my computer.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Let's go with that.
Let's go with that. Let's move on before we get Simon
in love Star Trek.
All right. Now, we pretty much covered the news, or what I wanted to talk about in the news and what we mentioned, but the only thing we haven't talked about, which is probably the raciest thing, NES Mini? Did anybody get their hands on one?
No, and no one ever will, because Nintendo is going with the Wii approach of things of not producing any, and then just, like, making everyone beg for it.
So I had a conversation with a good old friend, Craig Coben, who's in chat, and first thing he messaged me, did you get your hands on a copy of the NES Mini? I'm like, no. And he said that he's in Saskatchewan, and two of the biggest game stores in the city both pre-ordered 100 units. They both got a combined unit, 4 units between them. What the hell?
That's exactly what happened with the Wii. Nintendo, yeah. they're doing it on purpose. 1,000,000% doing it on purpose.
Dumb, though. They could just make all their money now. Just make the money. It's holiday season. People want to buy these things. We're tired of this not designed obsolescence. What do you call it? The limit, demand, whatever. So is this going to be the Wii or the Tickle Me Elmo of 2016?
Yeah,
is the 100%. NES Mini?
100%. I wouldn't be surprised. Which is a real shame.
Yeah, I don't know. Nobody can really get their hands on it. It's kind of crazy. And, like, even knowing that the cable is, like, only at 2.5 feet long for the controllers, like, I've heard some crazy tales of people,
what,
like,
2.5 feet or 2.5 meters?
2.5 feet. It's short. It's shorter than the original cables.
But why?
Makes no sense.
No idea.
They showed something. I saw that going through somewhere. They showed that you could buy another, like, same kind of style controller, but that was, like, the best option for the mini, like, the mini NES thing.
Yeah.
It was another brand. It was, like, an off-brand, but it was, like, the best option. People were saying, this is the best thing you can buy for the mini.
Yeah, but, like, you're buying the fucking console. You want to use the thing that comes with it.
I know.
That's it. And it's, like, shorter than the original one. I was listening today on my drive back and forth, my ride back and forth to Meg's. I was listening to the Nintendo voice chat, and one of the guys was saying, like, he's like, yeah, my kid, like, got through the level and then raised his hands in the air in triumph and, like, ripped the console. I'm like,
that's this, like, 2.5 meters is, like,
no, it's probably
feet.
Feet.
It's feet. It's not even meters.
Feet, yo. Simon's
that's
using it.
Simon,
you're giving the man more of my
work. than my mouse pad. I shorted my mouse pad.
Why would you do that?
I don't know, man.
I'm gonna go get the fucking Sega Classic instead.
Yeah, do it.
Fuck it.
Or
they'll do the same thing.
Buy the games on Virtual Console.
I'm just gonna fucking get an emulator and play them on my PC.
There we go, Simon. Fuck again with noise. Another hit to illegal downloading. Oh well.
Fuck that noise.
All right, guys, it's time to get into the topic of the show, which is, of course, BlizzCon, which we're like, what, a week out from it now? How long have you been back, Sarah?
I was back on Wednesday on the 8th, but BlizzCon was on the 4th and the 5th.
There you go. So, I mean, you, girl, were on the show floor, so you got to give us all the details and the cool swag that you managed to pick up.
Dude, it's so big. You think you've been to conventions? Nah. Yeah. I think the only thing San Diego is, like, the biggest thing ever, right?
Okay. Right.
Forget San Diego. But I've been to Fun Expo, and I thought that Fun Expo was big. Fun Expo is, like, big in the sense that it takes a lot of, like, area.
Mm.
There's a lot of people.
Mm.
But condense that into one convention center.
What convention center?
It's the Anaheim Convention Center.
Okay.
Every year it's the same place. Yeah.
Yeah, every year at the Anaheim Convention Center, and it's pretty much the whole floor. First floor, whole floor. Second floor is for the media, and then third floor is actually pretty much the whole floor, but it's divided in different sections.
Okay.
You have, like, the Dark Moon Fair, so you can go buy, you have the pet adoption, so you can buy certain pets, like the plushies. You have the pin trading, so you buy pins, and then you can trade with official people from Blizzard, and then you can trade with other people. And then you had the Hearthstone Tavern, which I didn't see, and I kind of regret it now, because I've seen pictures of it. Really good. And then the first floor is just crazy. It's the main stage panel, which I don't even know how big it is. It's just so huge. It's just something else.
Did you sit and watch the press conference from the venue?
I watched the Diablo one.
Yeah,
I watched the presentation, the first one on the first day.
Yeah,
I was there for the main stage thing. Mm-hmm. But it's just so big that you just watch from the screens that they have.
Yeah, it looked like their thing, the way it was set up, it was really long instead
It is.
Yeah. It's a very interesting stage setup, and I imagine the reason for that is because of the way the Anaheim Convention Center is set up.
I would assume so. It's a really huge space, actually. Mm-hmm. It's divided into like little bits and pieces, so I can't really like make a comparison, let's say, with the Bell Center or whatever, mm-hmm. or even the Palais des Congrès. Mm-hmm. I think it's bigger than the Palais des Congrès.
It probably is.
Yeah, I think it is. But it's divided.
And cosplay was on point.
You've no idea.
Well, like, I can't wait
to see your photos. I saw a little snippet of it yesterday. Oh, I'm so excited.
They're all on the website. I've uploaded them all today. Seriously, like, you've no idea. The quality. Okay, some cosplays were like, you know, normal cosplay that you see, like effort in it, but still really good. But some of them, I'm just thinking of the amount of time, the amount of just like the little details. Some of them, it's literally the character come to life.
Well, like the cosplay contest each year is always absolutely insane. Like it's. But,
and even Blizzard every year they say we have no idea, like
how
people do it, and like they're just blown away by the quality of the cosplays. And everybody knows nowadays how much time, how much money, and how much effort it takes to make these kind of cosplay. And Blizzard, like literally, they're just blown away by all the cosplayers that take that time and that money and that effort and put it into making these characters that Blizzard created come to life. It's just, I've seen some Overwatch ones that were amazing, some World of Warcraft. I have no idea who they were. I have no idea what a character were. But seriously, just the detail of it, it was fantastic.
And do a lot of people do, like, variations on characters as well, or do they try to stay true to the
Sometimes
originals?
They do. Sometimes they do, like, the female
some variations.
Version.
You'll see a few in the pictures that I've had, but I saw Genderbender McCree.
Ooh.
It was so good. I wish I had a picture of it, but the girl was just, she had it on point. It was just really good. I've seen some weird Genderbender, but that one was amazing.
Awesome.
Like, amazing. And I think you've seen pictures of the statues.
I've taken
some pictures. So Blizzard has statues of different characters, like biggest characters that they've had, and they put it on the show floor. And you can just look at it. And the details of these statues.
Mm. Where do these statues live when it's not BlizzCon?
I think they're in their headquarters.
Blizzard.
Yeah, I think they keep them in the headquarters, and they just bring it out for BlizzCon. But it's just so good. They had the... I didn't take a picture of that, but I think they had the big tracer.
Oh, wow.
Box.
Oh, the box one. What was that, New York or something?
London?
There was New York, Paris, London, and I think there was one more. Because it was Genji, Tracer, and I forget which one.
Widow? Was it Widow?
I don't think it was Widow.
I don't remember. But they had that. They had a smaller tracer, and they had the big box tracer. But seriously, it's a convention. But it's so much more than that. I feel like Blizzard has this really good thing with their community. Mm. You reach out to them and the community gives back because Blizzard gives back too. It's really a give-give kind of relationship. Blizzard really showcases their fans. Like the cosplayers, they'll showcase. They make. I don't know if you've seen the amazing video that's on the Battle.net launcher right now.
No, I haven't. I'll have to go watch that after. Yeah,
on the World of Warcraft page, Battle.net launcher, there's a video for the BlizzCon cosplays. Mm-hmm. And seriously, they've made a really good video. And it's just, you'll see some of the greatest cosplays. Yes, they were some Pharahs. One of them had the kind of wings that just
opened
up and down.
That's hardcore.
Seriously, when I say crazy cosplays, I do mean crazy cosplays. But it's just, and they really divide it well. Like, there's a main stage, then I think there was, like, the Overwatch, like, heroes. Like, you have each of your sections, but you can just mix and mingle and just go everywhere and see everything. It's huge. It's really long days.
Mm-hmm. Now, it seems, if you're coming at it from the outside, it can seem like it's a big marketing event, big PR thing, but it really is for the fans.
Yeah, it is, totally. I kind of see what people mean by, like they're announcing everything. Yes, but at the same time, it's kind of weird to explain, but you have a feeling that they're not making it for the industry. They're doing this whole thing
for the fans,
for the people, the fans, the people. Because I've seen this thing for me. Like, you're not, most of the time, you're not a Blizzard fan for one game. You're multiple game Blizzard fan.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's the truth.
So you kind of like, if you go there, you're not just like, oh, I go there for Overwatch. No, I go there for Overwatch, and I go there for Diablo, and I go there for Hearthstone, and I go to, like, most people will dabble in all of the, like, all of the games, a little bit at least. They'll be like, oh, I'm going to try it out. Yeah.
And it's not like they don't offer it for everybody, because, you know, video game, you know, can be expensive, you know, that kind of thing. Like, they offer the freebies, like Hearthstone and Heroes of the Storm, where, you know, you can be involved and be a diehard Blizzard fan and, like, not spend any money. Just spend all your money going to Anaheim.
It's okay, yeah, that's the thing, though. BlizzCon is really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, it is expensive. Mm-hmm. You have to think the ticket is like $200.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
But
and they're very difficult to grab. Like, they're very, very difficult to get. But if you manage to grab one, yes, it's expensive. And then you have to think of the plane and then the hotel. Or if you're lucky, like me, have a friend who lives there, like an hour away from Hanoi, I can stay there. But you have to think about all of that. But if you plan in advance, and you do all that, it's worth it. Seriously, guys, it seems a lot, but it's worth it.
Was it your first BlizzCon?
It was.
Oh, wow.
It was my first BlizzCon, and it was the 10th anniversary of BlizzCon, the 20th anniversary of Diablo. Like, it was just a great event. Yeah. Overall, I'm super happy.
Let's get into the news, because I think that, you know, like, that's the big thing, and that's what we all could experience together. Yes. And talking about the 20th anniversary, and, you know, the whole thing where they, you know, listen to their fans and all that kind of stuff. One of the biggest news to come out, let's get into D3 news, because that's what I know. Necromancer. Finally. We're getting Necromancer. Bringing it back. And I love it. I love the models, the characters. I mean, it's going to be super, super exciting to play. I can't wait for that DLC. Sarah, I'll let you run down all the news that happened with that. Go right ahead.
I was so happy. I mean, I've never played Diablo 2. But I've heard so many people talk about the Necromancer. So many people. You talk to anyone who played Diablo 2 and they were like, the Necromancer. I don't know why, but it was just a thing. But they're bringing back the Necromancer, and they really got the inspiration from the Necromancer in Diablo 2. Took like some of the, like, certain things that were particular to that character, bringing it back, and then they made changes and made it like kind of a new thing. So you receive a lot of things. Yes, it's a DLC. Yes, you have to pay for it. They haven't said what the price will be, but I would
What was Reapers of Soul when it came out?
40?
Yeah, but that wasn't a full-fledged expansion.
It was an expansion.
This is not an expansion.
This is DLC.
Maybe 20, 25.
I'm expecting,
that's not bad.
30. But you do get a lot of things. You don't just get, like, the character. You do get, like I said, you get an in-game pet, you get 2 character slots, so you can have more characters and the lesser characters that you have.
Well, so you can play 2 new Necromancers.
There you go. And then you get 2 new stash tabs.
Okay.
Stash, you get 2 of those.
That's fucking useful.
There you go. But that's PC only, not console. You get a portrait frame, which you always get, a pennant, again, banner, and a banner sigil. So it's supposed to be released in 2017. They haven't given a date, but it's the second half. So I'd say after like June, July, around that time.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Well, they're not going to leave it till November, because then they'll be hyping out of the next BlizzCon. It'll probably be late summer, I think.
Yeah. I have like links I can give in the chat about like, those links give all of the details about the Necromancer, and they're really good. But seriously, I'm super stoked. And if you can manage like those links, you'll see Blizzard actually, when they made a presentation for the Necromancer, actually gave, what is the difference between the Necromancer and the Witch Doctor?
Yes.
People were like, well, Witch Doctor already deals with the dead. What's the difference? One of the biggest difference that I, like, for me, that was kind of striking, Witch Doctor is kind of a funny thing. Like, it's always, like, with a lot of humor in it. Like, with the fetishes, and then the chicken, the angry chicken.
Yeah,
right?
Like the weapon's like a frog.
Yeah, there you go, that thing. So it's kind of like humoristic, and it's just funny and like lighthearted.
It's voodoo.
The Necromancer is full dark.
He's like macabre to the extent. Oh, you lost your camera, my dear.
Weapon!
Maybe hit a button. But yeah, the thing that I liked was, like, I went afterwards and started looking at, like, the different armors and, like, the full armor with the heart, like, the beating, like, the shoulders. I was like, yes!
I want to make a cosplay out of one of those armors.
Oh, my God. So dope.
Seriously.
It's not the only Diablo 3 news. It was also the 20th anniversary.
And they actually made a special event that is supposed to be an annual event. So that's kind of cool. It's called The Darkening of Tristan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally Diablo 1, the story and the bosses and the things, put into Diablo 3.
With the look!
With the look! Retro Vision look! So it's the old bosses, the old items, like kind of that kind of thing. And it's in the game. So you have to go to a certain place and they have a portal. And once you go through that portal, it's the look of the old Diablo 1. So it's kind of like very weird walking and all of the kind of graphics. But it looks really nice. And some people are like, I kind of wish I had an expansion instead of this. But at the same time, this is an annual event. So it's supposed to be an annual. So every year, it's supposed to be in January, but I think it's in the patch right now. So if you go to PTR, patch should be there. I think you can play it. But it's just kind of like a way to bring back Diablo. And it's something that for me, that I've never played Diablo 1, I'm kind of happy because I can actually play Diablo 1 now.
I think I had all three, and I gave all my discs and everything because before I had like the gaming PC. I gave them over to Graf too. Nah, it's all right. I've been through them. But it was all this throwback stuff now. It's like we all want days of yore. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know.
NES Mini and a retro vision version of Diablo 2 and Diablo 3. Why not?
Cashing in on gamer nostalgia.
Yeah, it's real. It's real. We all want to throw back to our childhood.
They're doing a kind of good job out of it. I'd say it's not too bad. It's not too shabby.
Yeah. The last thing you had listed here was introduction of the armory.
The armory. Oh, my God. That was so awesome. So what is the armory, technically? Armory is, it's going to be, I think, next to your stash and next to your the Book of Cain. So what it is, it's kind of like a wardrobe. But the nice thing about it is that you have 5 loadouts of your sets, your items, your skill, your passives, your gems.
Mm-hmm.
So when you need a certain kind of build for a certain kind of run, let's say you want to do a greater rift and you want to speed farm or whatever, you can just go to the armory, change your set just in an instant.
That's nice.
And then you can just go to your rift instead of spending 5 minutes doing it or whatever.
Yeah, so item management like that was one of the reasons I stopped playing Diablo because it was so fucking annoying to like every time. Okay, yeah, I have to switch to this and then keep that in your
inventory. Yeah, there you go. But now it's everything. It's not just your set and your like items, everything. It's your set, your skills, passive, everything.
Wow.
So that's a really nice thing. And not only that, let's say in your set you have, I don't know, I play Witch Doctor, so I use like certain type of gems, which it's topaz. So I use topaz in my things. Let's say I haven't used this set in a bit of time. So the topaz that I have in it, they're not like the highest ones that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of me having to desocket them and then put the new ones in, blah, 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 it'll just do it instantly.
Oh, smart.
Once I put it in. And now desocketing doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that's cool. And another thing that people were kind of annoyed about was the dyes. Now you don't have to see like 5 freaking merchants. The Mystic now has the dyes in her tabs.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, your gold and your blood shards, all of your crafting items are just part of the tab, the tab menu.
Oh, there's some cool changes.
Yeah, and they don't take any place in your inventory anymore.
Amazing.
So just, and when you go to the Kanai's Cube, you don't have to bring them with you and bring them back. No, you just go to Kanai's Cube, put your thing in it, and it just does it.
Awesome. It's those little things that, like,
yes,
walk
you back in again, right?
That's literally what Blizzard said.
Yeah, the stuff that, like, you found annoyance and made of a deterrent, like, oh, shit, I got to go back in and rebuild my character and all the armor and make sure I'm like, no, you can quick save it almost, make it a shortcut.
And now you can be, I have to cube this thing because I want this passive or I want this skill instead of having to go to your stash and be like, oh, I have to bring, what do I have to bring again? What do I have to take with me?
Yeah.
Now you're just like, put the things, select your receipt, fill, it's done.
Now, when does this release? Is this coming soon or is it out now?
The armory is in 2017 too.
Okay.
I don't know if it's in the PTR yet.
Okay. We got to wait a little bit.
But I think it's going to be released at the same time as the Necromancer, maybe a bit before, but it's going to hit pretty much all at the same time.
Sweet, sweet.
Nice.
That pretty much rounds up all Diablo 3 news. We're going to jump to WoW. Simon, what's going on in the world of Warcraft?
All the awesome things.
All the awesome things. I remember you being in chat in our Discord going nuts.
Yes. Well, they announced quite a few things. Well, they announced Karazhan and all that kind of stuff. Well, though we knew what's coming, but you know, they showed a trailer and they officially of coming out, and Karazhan is fantastic, by the way. For those who have a chance to go back to the instance, it's fucking fantastic. It's like the best instance they've ever made. I don't understand how Blizzard can manage to become better at what they do after fucking like 10 years of World of Warcraft. It's just 12 years, 11 years, I don't even know. So that's pretty crazy. So they announced that. They announced class mounts. They announced the Tomb of Sargeras, which is going to be patch 7.2. So the big raid after the next big raid coming. So, but I think my favorite news was patch 7.3 or 7.4 or whatever, that we're going to be going to Argus, which is the home of the demons. So for those who are in the know with the WoW lore, the only way to actually kill a demon is to go to their home planet and do it on the planet. Because if you do it like just when they're on the WoW's planet, it just doesn't work. So yeah, we're going to Argus, motherfuckers, and we're gonna kick some demon lord ass. So I'm really excited for that. And you know, a lot of other, again, quality of life stuff that they're changing. But yeah, I'm really excited to see what they're gonna come out like. They're gonna be doing little events now, mini festivals, I think they're called, or something like that. Where it's like when they're over, they're already doing like 2 week long stuff for like Halloween and Christmas, that kind of stuff. But like,
yeah,
they're gonna be doing like smaller events throughout the year, have like added bosses and added stuff to instances just to make it interesting and get people to go do them more often. So I mean, I'm really excited to see all the stuff they're doing. Wow, they're doing a great job of keeping the content fresh and giving the players new things to do. Like they talked about mini patches in between big patches, which is like little more content to satisfy you until the next big raid patch comes out, which is pretty much what the patch now is. You know, they gave us Karazhan and then Trial of Valor, which is just a 3-boss raid, just to like kind of get the story moving forward and give us more, you know, satisfy us until Nighthold comes out. So I think that's really smart of them to do, because that was one of the biggest complaints when World of the Draenor like ended. It was like a year and a half almost between content patches, between like the end of Warlords and Legion. So people were like freaking out and they lost all their subscribers. So I think they learned their lessons. Yeah, they learned their lesson, and they're gonna start dishing out content, even if it's just a little patch, you know, just a little bit of content, even if it's just like a festival or whatever the fuck they want to do with it. Just release the stuff and go with it, and I think that's going to be really fucking awesome. So yeah, I'm looking forward to what they're
going
to do.
When does the patch with the going to the world of the demons come out? They didn't say.
2017.
I think it's 2017. Okay, so there's nothing coming like right now.
Well, no, I mean patch. We know Nighthold, which is patch 7.2, I think, is coming out like early January, like 2017. So we know that it's coming fairly soon. Even I don't know if it's sooner than that. But we know that it's coming fairly soon. So, but Argus is not before, because then after that you have Tomb of Sargeras, and then after that you go to Argus, which I think is going to be like the patch before the next WoW expansion.
Wild. So I know we're going to jump into Overwatch now, because there's lots of Overwatch stuff. Apologies. We are not the folks that know too much about Heroes of the Storm and Hearthstone.
Well, I mean, I can talk about Heroes. Because I saw what happened, what's happening. Well, I mean, they released new characters.
Yes, that's true.
Varian and Ragnaros, which is like an interesting mechanic, because Ragnaros can become like big, like you can buff yourself and like become huge, or in team and like basically become a raid boss.
Mm-hmm.
So that looked like an interesting mechanic. And Varian, spoilers, Varian dies in WoW, so it's kind of funny to see his legacy continue in Heroes of the Storm. And like, and he's an interesting character, because he was saying that it's the first character that you actually have specs you can choose with. Like if you play him with a shield, then he's more of a tanky type, like he does less damage but he can take a whole more damage. And if you play him with like a two swords or one big sword, depending, and there was a I like that they're kind of experimenting.
Nice tweaks.
Yeah, they're kind of experimenting with different ways of introducing characters. I thought it was pretty cool. And they announced Streets of Gadgetzan for Hearthstone, which is another expansion with
more
stuff too. That's why I'm kind of, I don't want to get back into Hearthstone because there's so many, it's like Magic now, there's so many freaking cards out.
Yeah.
That you just feel that you have to dish out a lot of money to get a bit of, you know, to get some good cards to start a deck. So I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I kind of don't want to get into Hearthstone anymore.
There's so many games to keep up with. It's wild.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Overwatch. Overwatch. Overwatch.
Yes.
So many things.
So disappointed.
Why?
What?
By how Summer was announced. We all fucking knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, the hype wasn't there.
She's gonna hack the BlizzCon conference, and look what happened. She hacked the BlizzCon conference.
Well, okay, to be fair, Blizzard's whole plan kind of got thrown out when they themselves got hacked, and the
picture came out.
I kind of feel bad. I mean, they handled it pretty well overall, the whole ARG.
No,
they didn't. No, wait, Simon, the first part of it was good.
Yeah.
The end of it, no.
Yeah.
And I'll give you that, but you have to give them the fact that the whole start, the whole beginning was good. But somewhere along the way, they kind of, I don't know what happened, but something happened.
They dragged it on. My hunch is that they were going to release her earlier, but they ran into some development troubles and they had to push it back. I think that's what happened. And then they were like, you know what? Let's just do it at BlizzCon then.
Yeah, and then that was the big bang that they were going to come out with, and then that got taken away from them.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
It's too bad. It's too bad.
You live and you learn, though. You live and you learn.
Yeah. They should take, honestly, the best ARG still remains the Portal 1 ARG. Portal 2, I mean. But yeah, Portal 2 ARG was fantastic, but I don't know. I feel that they kind of mess it up there at the end. And well, I think the leak happened because people were so fucking mad at Blizzard for not releasing the character yet. They're like, fuck it, we're just going to get her herself. And that's what happened.
And I get that. Like, even I was kind of whatever at this point. But the first part of it was nice. I liked it.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. It was fun, but it did take too long and it did like a little bit of communication at some
dragged on.
All right.
So that's kind of like, okay, you could have done that better, but I don't think they expected to have to wait so long to release her, like you guys said. I don't know. I liked her. I still like her. She feels weird in some ways. I've played her a bit.
She's fun to play.
To make out of her.
I like
it. She's not a DPS, in my opinion. She can do a lot of damage. But that's not her point. Her point is to be kind of like Tracer, an annoying little fly that just annoys you and just distracts you. It's literally, Tracer is that. Tracer's annoying little fly that just annoys you and kills your support. Mm-hmm. That's what Tracer does. And Genji, same thing. So I feel like Sombra is kind of that too. She's just annoying. She'll hack you and make you render you semi-useless. She'll break shields. She'll take the heal packs. That kind of thing. She's just going to be annoying. That's her role. Like Tracer, it's going to be annoying.
Which is fine.
Which is fine. Yeah, it's good. It's not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. But for me, I haven't played her much, to be honest. Mm. But from what I've played of her, it's kind of a really different mechanic. It's kind of a really different mindset that you have to be in. So we'll see what people do. But she does changes a lot of things in a way. I don't know if she's going to be picked in competitive and pro because I don't see her usefulness much.
The usefulness is hacking Reinhardt's shield.
That's pretty much it. Mainly.
Well, I guess then if you know who you're going up against and the team is someone who does rely on Reinhardt a lot, then that would be a good like strategy.
Yes, but then again, the whole point about Overwatch is changing heroes. Switching.
My favorite thing to do with Sombra is to hack D.Va so she can't fly anymore.
And she can't use her shield anymore.
That's so funny. Because she's just flying around. That's really fun, actually.
But, you go. But it's not only that. Sombra's coming into play, and then the patch brings so many more things that is, it's changing the whole meta pretty much. Mm-hmm. They're bringing like not only Sombra, but a lot of changes to the ults, taking way longer to get your ults. I know that Soldier is getting a buff. I think Zarya is getting a buff or a nerf, depending on who you talk to. A lot of different things that are... the whole game is going to pretty much change a lot with the next patch. It's either coming tomorrow, or it's either coming the next week. So.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, that's something that's coming soon. Thank goodness.
Yes.
Not
yes.
Everything 2017. 2017. But let's talk about 2017, because the end of 2017, we're getting something called Overwatch League. And that piqued my interest. So... the thing about Overwatch League that I am super excited about is, and it's the same stuff that we've talked about over and over again, you know, like guaranteed payments for players, stuff that like sports leagues do on a traditional basis. You know what I mean? Like taking knowledge from how they've set up their leagues to protect players, to garner engagement, to get people more involved in esports. And I think this is a brilliant step in the right direction. During the event, one of the things that piqued my interest was when they started talking about local teams.
Yep.
How you guys feel about that? But like the idea of having a team that represents, say, Montreal, and then, you know, if someone's new to esports, for them to have that to gravitate towards, to go cheer for the local team, makes total sense as a bridge point to get someone in. Because right now, I don't really know like who I should watch and who I should follow outside of like recommendations from friends. But if you've got something like your local team, of course you want to support your local team. So it makes, like, it's brilliant.
It's honestly, it's something I'm surprised that Blizzard is the first ones to do.
It's not that they control their shit.
I'm not in a sense that, so Blizzard has been one of the, I'm going to say pioneers in a way of esports with StarCraft. I mean, there was Quake before, there were other games before, granted, but StarCraft is kind of like the grandfather of esports.
It is.
So, and they've seen the scene evolve so much. At first they were there, but they were kind of letting the community deal with it and the community make their own events. And that's how esports work, literally. The mm-hmm. community takes the game and makes it an esport. That is how esport works. And it was a new thing. Nobody knew that esport would become this multi-million, billion, actually, industry that it is now. So you couldn't even really think that, oh, we're going to take this idea that comes from like regular standard sports and apply it to esports, because esports was just a thing that happened, really, when you think about it. Mm. But Blizzard has seen esports evolve with first StarCraft and then Hearthstone, Heroes. Hearthstone, they had no idea that Hearthstone would actually become a thing. And now Overwatch, I think they made Overwatch with the mindset of, we want it to be an esport. Mm. We have made ton of other games that were esports. Blizzard is one of the few publisher that has made more than two games that have made it into esports and that are still, you know, stable in esports.
I mean, all of their games have esports.
Well, you think Diablo. About it.
Yeah, Diablo's the only one.
And, well, WoW is not that
much. Yeah. I'm sorry?
I don't see WoW, but I mean, there's Arena.
The Arena Championship, there's like $2,250,000 price points like every couple of months.
That's legit.
The Arena Championship is, there's actually huge matches during BlizzCon, so yeah.
So there you go. You see, so they have like, other than Diablo, all of their games have made it into esports. Become esports. Mm-hmm. And the other one that's behind them is Valve with CSGO and Dota 2. Mm. Other than that, no other company has that many games into esports. And so they have a lot of knowledge, like cross games, to apply to this kind of thing. So mm-hmm. I'm not surprised that they're doing it, because they've tried with StarCraft to be more involved in it, and the way they did it wasn't exactly the way they should have done, but it's in the past. They've actually tried to mend it. But with this, I think they're going the right way. And since they have so much knowledge about esports itself and how to not only make it happen, but how to make it grow, how to make it become a thing, I'm not surprised, and I'm kind of happy that they're doing it, actually. I wish this could have been a thing when StarCraft was at the top.
Yeah, it takes time to learn, right? It takes time to learn, to assess, to go through. There's big money behind this. And like we've talked about in the past when we've had our esports conversations, you know, the players and all that, and that's a big part of this. Players are going to be scouted and signed through free agency and receive guaranteed salaries and benefits. Yes. Feeder leagues would help train players up for the pros. So you're going to have, like, the AHL to the NHL. Like, so smart. And then potential team owners are expected to bid millions of dollars on it.
Yes.
On teams. You know, like, you could see Molson saying, yes, we want the Overwatch Canadiens. You know what I mean? It could happen. It could happen. I've already poked my friends at Eventco.
I know. Oh, and I'm sorry. Actually, Blizzard got 6 games into esports. 6. 5 games. Sorry, 5 games. 6 games. I'm sorry, I forgot Warcraft 3. Priru mentioned that. That's actually 6 games. When you think about it, like, early stages, before StarCraft 2, right, Warcraft 3. So they've been in the game for, like, at least 10 years, if not more than that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they do have the knowledge, they have the experience, and I'm happy to see that happen.
And what I like about Overwatch right now, because it's so brand spanking new, is, like, the field is even across the board gender-wise. Do you know what I mean? There isn't these guys that have gotten into it super before the girls have. I think there could be a pretty even keel playing field across the board.
I've played with some girls that were crazy good.
One of the best players in the world is she's...
The Zarya player?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Have you seen her videos? Holy, like, she had to film herself playing because she was so good, she thought she was cheating.
That's crazy.
That's how good, like, I saw a video of her playing, I'm like, how the fuck does someone do, like, it's just insane. It's just completely insane.
It's
crazy. She's so good.
But it's awesome. Yeah. But yeah, I'm super happy to see that. And I think that if, it's a thing that's starting to become more and more prominent, but, if universities start to have esports league and have esports team, it'll be a great way to start, like, let's say, in even college. You go to college, you go into your esports team, like a math club. It's the same thing. You start there, and then when you go to university, you can move on and get to, like, a higher level of esports. And then from university, you have this great platform to kind of jump into more of a higher level or a higher setting or whatever you want to call it, into this Overwatch League. I hope they do it with their other games too. Heroes, Hearthstone, StarCraft, even WoW. I hope that this is the first starting point and then they just go from there and apply it to other.
It's only a question of time before we see esports scholarships happening.
They actually exist.
Can one of you guys write the name of the super awesome esports player in chat? I'm lazy and
slow. Zarya? Yeah, hold on.
I have no idea who she is.
I forgot her name. Hold on.
Simon will find it because he's magic like that. Yeah. It's amazing to watch this because all the complaints that we've been talking about esports,
they're addressing. She is 17-year-old and, 6.31 KD with a tank, 80% win rate. And like, yeah, so I actually found 80. The video. I actually found
She's
the video.
Crazy.
Damn.
She's crazy.
Crazy.
But yeah, I just hope Blizzard does that. I hope they just get involved more and in the right way. Not trying to take control of everything, just giving the community this opportunity to grow it out. Because technically that's what they're doing. They're just giving the community, like, the opportunity to have money, because that's a thing in esports. It's people might think, oh, there's so much money into esports. Yes and no. There is money, but it's so difficult to get. Mm-hmm. It's so difficult to find sponsors, like, locally.
It's new.
It's new, and people don't understand it. They're like, what? You're playing video games?
Rope it all back to where we were yesterday at Northern Arena. People didn't understand it. How many people came up to me and asked me, what the heck is Northern Arena? Like, nobody. Like, because they saw the ads on TV, heard them on the radio, and they didn't understand. Well, this is how we're educating people, right?
Yeah,
and now Blizzard's doing it in the right way, that they're coming at the right time with some knowledge behind them and knowing that people, they built their game for this. They're structuring a league to make sense based on what they've learned from other esports and their own shit and like real data, not just like guessing. Like they have it legit stats. And then looking at stuff like the NBA, NHL, and NFL and the soccer leagues and saying like, how do they run it? How does it work? How do they make a legitimate business worldwide that makes sense, that people jump on? Like, how many bandwagon people jump on when the Habs are in the playoffs? Get the Montreal, you know, Overwatch team to the playoffs, and then they're making merch left, right, and center because everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. It's so smart. So smart.
I really like that.
Yeah. Is there any other Overwatch news? Because I think we've hit the end of the show.
No, but talking about merch, I can show
you. Oh, yes. Yes, Sarah, show us some of the cool merch that you picked up.
Alice, you're going to love this.
We're going to have to explain for the folks that are listening. So.
I went to BlizzCon, and I bought a shit ton of things.
Yeah, what happened.
But this was something that I really wanted to get. And it's the plushie.
Nice. The onion.
It's amazing. And I love that they made the box just like the Anamoro map.
Yeah.
Like the little game.
The design. Arcade. Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing. I got the Ganymede one too. I can get it out of the box. But it's a Bastion head.
Yes.
Oh my god, so cute!
It's a Bastion head. And inside the Bastion head, I should have taken it out. I don't know why I didn't. But they have the little Ganymede that is really cute. And it's awesome. And a friend of mine bought this just because of the box. He just wanted, like, when he was mad at a Bastion, he just wanted to be able to just
smack the box.
That's literally the whole thing.
Bastion bought the whole thing.
So that's
Oh my god, that is adorable.
And I like Lizard. They made clips. Like his legs
are adorable.
Oh, so they attached to something.
You can clip it somewhere.
Smart. Some people had them on their hair, like at BlizzCon. So that's like the coolest thing ever.
Oh,
I love it.
I know they sold the Pepe at BlizzCon. Pepe is one of the characters.
They had a ninja Pepe.
Yeah, a little bird.
It's so cute. What did I get? I got the, well, from the Blizzard box, when you went to BlizzCon or you bought your virtual ticket, you could buy the box too. I got this amazing.
Yeah, the mug. It's so fucking awesome.
Beautiful. They do really well with their
With the merch, like the Overwatch bottle. I don't know if you
Nice glass bottle.
It's in
and not like your rinky dink, like normal merch that you find for stuff. This is like swanky.
They got a lot of things. I got pins, like pins for days, guys.
Yeah, she went crazy on the pins. Cray on the pins.
I got the Diablo t-shirt because, I mean,
okay, so the Diablo t-shirt, I think, is the smartest thing ever. Okay, show it, yeah.
The front is this.
Yes.
The front is really nice.
The back.
The logo is cool, but the back is just awesome.
Yeah, so, like the back looks like, okay, gotta explain to the folks who are listening
to this. Tour of Terror, 1996, 2016.
Yes,
oh, that's so cool!
Like, it's like a band shirt, and it has all the names of different locations in Diablo.
Yeah.
So smart.
That is
like,
awesome.
I'm kind of jelly. I want that shirt.
You can buy it online, and it's just so cool. Okay, so this is the woman's shirt. They have the men's shirt. The woman's shirt is slightly like paler than the men's shirt.
Okay.
It's just like a bright red. This is slightly paler, but I like that they didn't make it pink.
No, it's beautiful. It had to be red. Yeah,
it's just, it's a really nice one. So I bought this because, like, Diablo, please. I bought a lot of things for Diablo. Like, my main thing going to, BlizzCon was Diablo. I got the awesome bottle opener.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. So this bottle opener, they need to make it 20% smaller, put it on a chain, and so I can wear it right here on my chest.
Yeah, it's really nice. I wish it was just one more silvery, but still, it's really awesome. And you can put it in your fridge. Look at these magnets.
Yeah, that's dope.
It's really awesome.
You spend a fair chunk of change.
Oh, that's so much money. And then this is, like, I'm so happy. This is a mouse pad.
So when Sarah was talking about her mouse pad being longer than the controller cables for the NES Mini, that's the mouse pad talking about. It's ginormous. It takes over your entire desk.
It does.
It's beautiful.
It's awesome. I got that. I got this bag that is just so pretty. This really cool Blizzard bag. Like, look, you have, logos.
I'm going to BlizzCon next year.
ES Champ is talking. She's like, where were you, Salt? There was no Diablo 4 announcement. Yeah, I kind of was hoping for Diablo 4, but then all the news that they
next
were coming
year.
Out with. Yeah, hopefully next year. If they Diablo put out this 4,
WoW expansion next year. It's gonna be best BlizzCon ever.
Be beautiful.
And then I got other things that I don't know where they are, but those are like the best things that I've got.
That's dope. That's dope. Girl, I'm jelly. Well, that pretty much wraps up our show here this evening. I want to, of course, as usual, thank our wonderful hosting at Fun.io. They do our wonderful VPS hosting on the website. That's why our website now is all fast and spiffy. I love it. We've also got a stream team along with this podcast that we do every Monday night. And earlier today and now tomorrow, Miss Witchling is going to be streaming more Watch Dogs, which is awesome. And I really enjoy Watch Dogs too. I'm going to go play more after this. But our normal schedule, Kathless is going to be on Tuesday. What is she streaming? Is it Final Fantasy?
No. Try to see if it, you'll never get it.
Xenoblade?
Yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles.
Ah, yes. It's a sword. See, that's it. When you've got like those fancy swords, I always like have that in my mind. Then we've got Witchling coming back on Wednesday playing some Overwatch.
No, Thursday.
Oh, it's because of the order. That's why. I'm used to it being Wednesday. Okay, Thursday. Bianca's back with more Final Fantasy on Friday. And then Miss Alice is going to be playing some more Blood and Wine, The Witcher 3 on Sunday. So, yeah, if you want the details about the schedule, because I obviously always mess it up when I read it, you can go check that out on our Twitter. Ha! Awesome. And of course, we've got some cool stuff going up on the website when it comes to content. But we're so swamped right now with MIGs, it's all going to come afterwards. Love it. Of course, I want to thank Simon for doing his wonderful producing duties. Simon, yes. Where can people track you down if they want to follow you and learn about all the cool stuff, so your video gaming?
Nowhere.
That's a lie. Twitter.
Yeah, it's through Twitter. GOG Simon M on Twitter.
But you can always come on our Discord, because we have a wicked Discord channel.
That's where I am.
Yeah, that's where we really chat.
That's where I am.
And Sarah, where can everybody track you down?
Twitter, at Azaifa. That's where I'm at, on the GOG Discord. I have another Discord too, like all of the things. But mainly Twitter. I answer Twitter pretty fast too.
Sweet. Awesome. I'm Leah Jewer on Twitter and Instagram. But of course, you want to know all about GOG. Girls on Games can be found on Facebook at The Girls on Games and Twitter as The Girls on Games. We're just Girls on Games on Instagram and Snapchat. But of course, if you want to know anything at all, you just go check it out at girlsongames.ca. It has all the details, all the fun stuff, all the things. Right. All right. Have a wonderful rest of your week, because this is the beginning. It's only starting. For those of you who are diving into Watch Dogs 2, have fun. And we'll see you all same bad time, same bad channel next week, Monday.
Bye.